The days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it.
Good morning. So, welcome to our All Ages Together service. It is lovely to see you. It's lovely also to have those watching online. So warm welcome, particularly if you are new to us. Now, you might be wondering what this wall is doing here. Why? What's it about? In our passage today, we hear about people not being able to find God. It's like there's a wall being put up. And those were the words that Rob read to us just then. More about that later, but that is what the wall is symbolizing. So, in your pods, I should introduce myself actually. My name's Graham. I'm on the preaching team here, and this is Rob. He's another member of the preaching team, and we're going to be leading this service this morning. In your pods, you will find the notice sheets, and there's one note in particular I'd like to draw your attention to. It's the one about helping hands. It says on the back of the notice sheet, please bring your donations of food and toiletries and place them in the container in the Wilberforce Hall up there. Alternatively, you can contact Rob, this is Rob, his number is there, to arrange for collection from your home. Okay. Are there any birthdays? Any birthdays in the sort of few days around now, next week, last week? Complete silence. Well, is anyone checking the stream to see if anyone's put any, but no birthdays on there either. Okay, so if it is your birthday, anyone, I wish you a very, very happy birthday. The other notice I have this morning is that Carol's going to come and say something to us.
Good morning, everyone. As you know, last week was Toby's last week with us. And we said goodbye, and we gave them a card and a gift. And I've had a card from them, which I'll read to you. To all at Elmden Church, so many thanks for a lovely send-off. For all your gifts and good wishes, we'll miss you. Prayers and blessings from Toby, Emma, James, and Amelia. Now, the church is now going into a vacancy, which means we don't have a minister. Sometimes the vacancy is called by a very long name, an interregnum. But we can use the word vacancy. It's easier to understand. During that time, services will go on as usual. When we need a minister, we've got one coming, John Cyprus, who many of you already know. He'll be coming to take communion and some other services. But you'll be seeing more of the preaching team and the leadership team will be taking other services and preaching. And when it comes to the COVID regulations, now we know that in just over a week, things are due to change. But we won't be changing things straight away. It won't all go back to normal within a matter of weeks. Our COVID security team are meeting this week, and we will work out how best we can start relaxing and slowly going back to a more normal way of being. We really do want everybody back together. We want to be one congregation, worshipping, singing, doing all the things we used to do. But it's going to take time, so please be patient. Thank you.
Okay, it's Robert.
Right. So we're going to have the first part of our reading from Amos, which is chapter 8, and the first two verses of 4 to 6. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain and the Sabbath be ended, that we may market wheat? Skimping the measure, boosting the price and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat.
Rob, why do I have to come to church? It is so boring. I don't want to spend time worshipping God. I've got far better things to do. I could be playing golf, you know, playing golf. Hole in one. Well, I could get a hole in one if I had time to practice. We could have more days out with the family. Get out into the countryside, go to the beach. I can't do that if I'm stuck in church, can I? It is not fair. God is just so unreasonable. I want to live my life for me. I don't want to have to spend time praying and listening to the Bible. I could be improving my house, doing some DIY. I've got plenty of jobs on the go that I've not had time to finish. Does God seriously expect me to give up my precious time to learn about him? Honestly, instead of worshipping God, I could be earning some money. I could have a job. This annoying New Moon Festival is just such a waste of time. Every month we have this. I would much rather be selling my grain down the market, making a profit for myself. It's not fair. And the Sabbath, a whole day wasted each week on God. I could be earning a living. God is so unreasonable. Oh, talking about the market, Rob. I do love the market. I do well down there. I've got some tips. You might want to listen to this. I've got this special set of scales. It's great. I put 800 grams of wheat on it, but it reads 1,000. When I charge people £2 for a kilogram, I'm not actually giving them a kilogram. It's genius. Trading standards wouldn't like it, but I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I'm just using my initiative, being competitive. That's a good thing, isn't it? And here's something else I do. If someone can't pay, I'll let them owe me the money, because I'm Mr. Nice Guy, at least when I'm lending them the money, I'm Mr. Nice Guy, that is. But get this, I make sure I get it back with a lot of interest. Such a good deal this is. I am running a business after all, aren't I? So I'm just a normal guy trying to make a living. To be quite honest, I'm really not interested in God at all, and I certainly don't see why I should waste my time coming to church. God is just not being fair.
I don't know what to say.
So, I've tried to paint a picture of the sort of people Amos is talking about. They don't care about God, and they don't care about others. They don't care about God because they don't observe the festivals, the New Moon Festival, the Sabbath. They are desperate to get out of that. They don't care about others because of the dishonest scales they're using, and that they're ripping people off and selling people for small debts, the price of a pair of sandals. We might not be as bad as my character then was, but we all do have that little bit of selfishness in us. We all do just a little bit want to live for us and not for God and not for other people. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. God was angry because the people of Israel had forgotten both of those. We also fail to love God. Instead of moaning it's not fair because God expects us to put him first and others first, we need to recognize that God is more than fair. It's the people Amos was talking to who weren't being fair. We all do things that are not fair to others and to God. So Rob now is going to lead us in saying sorry to God.
Yeah. So confession is actually saying sorry, but actually remembering that even though we've done it once and said sorry, we may be tempted to do it wrong again. And the idea is not to do it again, to truly repent and try and change. So we shall say the confession together. Could you reply in the words in white? So we will do the actions as well. So if you want to join in, please do. It's fun. Okay. For all the times we have gone our own way, Father, forgive us. You tell us to follow you. For all the times we have put ourselves first, and you and our service to others. Father, forgive us. You tell us to love. For all the times that we have been selfish with the things that you give us. Father, forgive us. You tell us to share. To follow you, to love you, to love others and to share with them. Father, forgive us. You tell us to change.
So we're now going to listen to our first song. Obviously, we're not allowed to sing. We are allowed to listen. And we are allowed to do actions. So this is going to be My Lighthouse. There are some actions, and we're going to do the actions in the chorus because that's where we can remember them. Okay, so let's listen to My Lighthouse.
In my troubled sea, in the silence you won't let go, in the questions your truth will hold, your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore. In my troubled sea, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore. Storms far before us. us. You're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Far before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you.
Lydia.
So I'm now going to read the second part of the reading. Okay. Bob, can you just pass me the reading, please?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, thank you. So this is the second part of our reading. Amos chapter 8, beginning at verse 7. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. Will not the land tremble for this, and all who live in it mourn? The whole land will rise like the Nile. It will be stirred up and then sink like the river of Egypt. In that day, declares the Sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your religious feasts into mourning and all your singing into weeping. I will make all of you wear sackcloth and shave your heads. I will make that time like mourning for an only son and the end of it like a bitter day. The days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Men will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. In that day, the lovely young women and strong young men will faint because of thirst. They will swear by the shame of Samaria, or say, as surely as your God lives, O Dan, or as surely as the God of Beersheba lives, they will fall, never to rise again. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Right. I'm going to talk about that second part of the reading, going from verses 7 to 14. So, bear with me. Have you, first of all, got a piece of material in your pod? You're going to need that, so keep it close by hand. Have you got a maze by any chance? You're amazed by that, David. Well done. Very good. It is an all-age service, so we'll have jokes as well. So, if you get a chance, have a go at the maze. Graham will tell you something towards the end anyway. I'm not going to go. So, we start. Shall we just pray? David, you just knocked your Play-Doh on the floor. I'm afraid it's behind you. So, shall we pray? Lord, we ask you to speak to us through your word today, to help us to understand and to put into action those things that you would wish us to do. We pray, first of all, for your Holy Spirit to talk through your word and talk to us through your spirit into our hearts, minds and spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us in everything that we do. And we pray these things through Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. So, have you ever experienced an earthquake or a volcanic eruption? What about a hurricane or a tropical storm? What about a thunderstorm, a really terrific one? Lightning, really heavy rain, big hailstones, an extremely strong wind. And even if we haven't experienced it, lots of people may have experienced it or seen it on the television. What I really want you to do is to think about that situation. How does it feel? How would you feel if you haven't directly experienced it? Did you feel safe or in danger? Did you feel alone and powerless? Even from far away, these situations can be terrifying and have an effect on us. So Amos today in our reading is telling the people of Israel, in particular those in the hierarchy, the priests, the kings and rulers, those that instruct the people, the government, that the day is coming when the Lord God will not be available. He will not be found. The storm will come, it says, and they should be afraid. It says in verse 7, the Lord has sworn by himself, the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything that they have done. And in verse 8, will not the land tremble for this, and all who live in it mourn? The whole land will rise like the Nile, it will be stirred up and then sink like the river of Egypt. So we're talking about physical manifestations. The people of Israel, God's people, will be abandoned not to a natural disaster, but a man-made one. One allowed by God because of their disobedience. God is not given a detention, but a long-term banishment undertaken by foreign powers, and they will be taken away and their land destroyed. They won't be able to say, it's not fair, like we hear in many circumstances, Graham, because they have had many prophets over the years warning them what will happen if they ignore God's commands for his people. God is loving, because he has given them chance after chance to repent and turn to him. They wear the sackcloth and ashes too late. Now, you've got a piece of this cloth in front of you. Feel it. What does it feel like? Make this into an item of clothing, and you're not allowed to wear a vest underneath or underwear of any sorts. It's going to be close. And rub it on your skin. Does it feel very nice? And actually, this is refined sackcloth. This is stuff that contains goods. But this is not as rough and hairy as it would have been in their time, in the way that they would have used it. Plus, they would have shaved their heads as well. So just imagine, well, some of us are closer to that than others, but just imagine, no hair, not washing, covered in, you know, you smear your faces in the ashes of stuff to show your true repentance, that you are really sorry. So, it's coarse and it's rough, and it would certainly remind us and them of their misdeeds and errors in following God. We all could say, it's not fair. It was only a little mistake, a small error. So, imagine being in school. We've all been there. And you are talking while a teacher is trying to teach the class. It's like when someone's doing a sermon and you all turn around and chat to each other. So you can practice now if you wish. The teacher may forgive you a couple of times, but eventually you'll get a telling off. Then maybe you'll get some extra work. So Lydia, you've got two mazes to do instead of one. Okay. After that, you may even get a detention to do some more work and not be able to do what you want to do. But for these people, it is much more serious. They have actually been expelled. It's not fair, they all shout, but God has sworn by himself that they will be punished. They will be taken from their home to another land for many years. That so long that they will not remember the land they were taken from. That's because it'll be so many generations down the line that they won't have any knowledge. and they will mourn for their lost home and families. They will wear sackcloth and ashes in a foreign land. In verse 10, I will turn your religious festivals into mourning and all your singing into weeping. I will make all of you wear sackcloth and shave your heads. I will make that time like mourning for an only son and the end of a bitter day. God sends his messenger Amos, who was only a shepherd. But do they listen? Do we listen to good advice, or do we moan and complain and say, it's not fair? God is actually so fair that he's prepared to save us from ourselves. And he comes to earth in the form of Jesus. He takes on all the problems of our world and passes all those tests without sin. He doesn't shout or moan or run away. He doesn't say, well, he does actually at one bit, it's not fair. He accepts that the task he is given by his Father and solves the problem of sin once and for all. All we have to do, and it's a big all, is to accept him as our friend and saviour, saying sorry and meaning it. Verse 11 and 12. The days are coming, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine throughout the land. Not a famine of food or thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from north to east, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. There's a wall here behind me. Tansy, you missed the start, unfortunately. I was behind this wall, and I read these words, and the idea is the words were behind, but because God had blocked us, this is a physical wall, but in God's case, it's a mental and a physical stoppage of people being able to find God. And that's why we built the wall to simulate that. And thank you, Elizabeth and Graham, for your hard work. So, searching for the word of the Lord. So, has anybody had a go at the maze yet? Have you solved it? Oh, right, okay, we'll talk about that. So, have a go, search for God, start from the figure at the top and have a look and see if you can get through. We can find God, fortunately. We can find God in our Bible, in our prayers, we can talk to him. And if we talk to those Christian people around us, they should be able to tell us how to find him because they have already done that. If anybody is not sure, anybody that is, please ask someone either from the preaching team or those who actually say the words, I am a Christian. If you are asked to help someone seek Jesus, please don't say, it's not fair, and walk away from that challenge, because that's what people can do. I don't know enough to tell people, but you do. Answer in your own words, from your own heart, and maybe all of us will be able to start through the maze to find God through Jesus. Walls stop us. But fortunately, this one won't stay here, will it, Graham? It's only held together by a bit of sellotape and a string, and we can get through it. With God's help, we can do that very easily. So the final two verses of our reading say in verse 13 and 14, in that day the lovely young women and strong young men will faint because of thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as surely as your God lives, Dan, or as surely as the God of Beersheba lives, they will fall, never to rise again. It's a warning. There is a storm coming, and they will not find God in their traditional places. They must look properly for the God of Jacob, the God who created the world. And if we are like those young women and young men, we could end up missing God because we fail to look in the right places. we first look to the cross, but actually he's no longer there. We must find him through our heart and through his spirit, through fellow Christians who can point the way. The Bible is God's word and holds truth, but we need to point the way to understanding that truth for each and every one of us, regardless of our age, background, or anything else. God is for all. So let us pray. Lord, help us to find you. Help us to break down the walls and barriers to find your true heart and your true spirit. And we ask for help in that through your word, through prayer, and through fellow Christians. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rob. So we're going to listen to another song now. This will be our second and final song, In Christ Alone. In Christ Alone, our hope is found.
Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, but with the precious blood of Christ. First cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Right, now you've each got a tub of Play-Doh. You are allowed to play, but we're going to use it for a purpose. Okay? You can have a go, Alan. Come on. Even you, I mean, I know you're getting on now, but you are allowed to do Play-Doh. Right, we're going to do prayer time with Play-Doh. So if you can encourage your younger people to have a go, that's good. So the first one we're going to do four objects, and we're going to pray for each one as we go. So the first one to make is a world. So just take a ball, roll it in the palm of your hand. I'll do each one so you can use it. So when you've done the world, put it on somewhere where you can see it. The next one is a cross. So see if you can make a cross. So I usually do a length of one, and then another one for the beam across. So you should end up with something like that. I'm sorry for the people coming in from home. If you haven't got the Play-Doh, you can maybe find something else to use, but it doesn't matter. Next one is a heart. And most people can make some sort of shape that resembles a heart. You don't have to do the one that beats, just do the figurative one. So just mould it into that sort of shape. Even I'm not doing this very well, I don't think. So something like that will do. A heart shape. So it's only a reminder for you when we get to the prayers. And the final one is your initial letter of your first name. So that might be more difficult, depends what the name is. Mine will be complicated, being Robert. So I'm going to do a back for that one. And then a round shape, or a moon shape. I don't know how you're going to do yours, Graham.
Don't it?
Have you got an idea? Ah, Graham's done it. Good. Right, and then we're going to use these for the prayer time, and then we will finish with the Lord's Prayer. Okay? So the first one, if you have it somewhere in front of you, we're going to pray for the world. So, we thank God for creation. Can you think of places where there are war or famine or any sorts of trouble? And I think that's most of the world at the moment with the pandemic. Pray for people who care for the world. We think of people like the NHS, doctors, nurses, but all the backroom staff, all the people who help provide food and medications and help in times of trouble. So we'll just put this in front of you, close our eyes, and bring people in prayer that you are thinking of this time. And also, while we're thinking of the world, we can think of people who we love, that we may have been missing, that we may not have been able to be in contact with. So use this time of the world to bring those people to God's notice. Right, next is the cross. And we're going to use the cross. We'll pray for other Christians in the world, people like our mission partners, the Asikus, Mr. Aguilera in Chile, who is our other mission partner. We pray particularly for the Church of England and the leadership as they make important decisions. We pray for our local diocese and the bishops, David and Anne, as they make decisions that will affect us. We pray for those things that are going to be done about COVID as we come into a different type of situation. We pray particularly for our own church. We pray for people such as Toby, Emma, Amelia and James as they are moving into new situations. We pray for us as we come into this vacancy period. We pray particularly for the wardens, the PCC and people who will have responsibility for leading the church in this time. But we particularly wish to pray for people that don't know Jesus, that we will be a link to Jesus for them in various different ways through the church, the building, the things that we do, but mainly our personal contact. And we think of people who can't be with us in church because of illness, isolation and other issues, and we bring them to the Lord in this time of quiet. We take up the heart. We think of people that we know, friends and family. We pray particularly for those who are ill and lonely. And we pray that God will bless those people that we bring to mind in different situations. We think of people in hospital, in hospices in this area, and here the medical services that look after these people as isolation can still continue. And we bring them to the Lord in a time of silence. And finally, we pick up our own letter of our name. I know it seems selfish to pray for ourselves, but that's important, because if we're going to do God's work, we need to be blessed by God in the first place. So think of yourselves and the work that you are going to do for God in the next week, into the coming weeks, and in the years to come. Ask God to bless us in the hard times, but also thank him for the times where we've had more than enough. Thank God for all the good things that he's given us. And we'll balance the scales, Graham, properly this time. So we pray for ourselves in this time of silence. Richard, can we finish with the Lord's Prayer? So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins and those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you. So, we're just coming to the end of our service now. I've been looking around, I've seen some people doing the maze. What you may have discovered is that it's actually impossible. The whole point of this is God says, you will not find me. And so I produced one, found one, that is just not actually possible to do. So don't feel bad about couldn't not be able to do it. Okay, so I'm going to send you out now. So we're going to finish with this response here. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.